For me, I've never looked at ambition as a negative, like in a negative way, in a negative perspective. And those around me haven't looked at it as a negative perspective. So when someone does, I'm a bit like, sorry.
And it is one of my most significant memories. And it's so important because I remember as a child just thinking, but why not? And I think this is the point around ambition. It's not to be something that you're not, but if that desire is already within your heart to be a leader, to stand out, there is a reason for it.
You know, you said about, and we should talk about that now, actually, that redefining or letting go of maybe a bit of an old school view of ambition.
Yeah.
For me, redefining that ambition is also, it's always to do with like the motivation. And I'm like, I am ambitious about seeing shifts and changes. For like our generations and the generations to come in all different things.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Magnify Conversations. My name's Rachel and I'll be your host today. As a team, we have been thrilled to put out this content on relationships, money, career, and faith. And we know it's been a real benefit to our community so far. So if you're new here, welcome. The best thing you can do is subscribe to this YouTube channel so more women can benefit from all of this wisdom and value-adding content. But without further ado, let's get into this conversation. So ladies, I'm so excited for this conversation today. Obviously, we're going to be talking a little bit about being an ambitious woman and like getting comfortable with that. But also, I guess just asking the question, why do ambitious women get a bad reputation? And I really want to hear both of your thoughts on that. But I think to start with, it would be just amazing if you both introduce yourself so we know who you are.
So I'm Shayun Toye Kayode. I would say these days I describe myself as a mom, a wife, and a private banker.
Yes.
Amazing.
So concise.
Yeah.
It took work to get
there. It's my TikTok handle.
I love that.
So it's practice.
Good.
So yeah, I'm Sonia, and I am a general dentist and aesthetic practitioner. And I'm a wife, I'm a daughter, I'm a sister, I'm a best friend. So yes, all in one.
Yes. Yeah, and I'm sure we'll hear more about that from both of you. To start with, I know it's probably the world's worst icebreaker. I feel like people always dread this one, but we're gonna do two truths and a lie. So I'll give you a quick second to think about your two truths and a lie. And each of us will kind of obviously ask, try and guess which the lie is. I'll join in too.
Okay.
Two truths and a lie.
I'll go first. So I was once on BBC News for bringing an infectious disease to a country in Europe. Had to be evacuated by the government. One of my weddings had 2,750 guests. And I met my husband on a blind date.
That's really hard. I think the lie is that you met your husband on a blind date, because I know those two other things are so drastic, but I'm like, how? If you've made those up, Shane, you have
not
got the most creative mind.
I actually did meet my husband on a blind date. The lie is one of my weddings had 2,700.
Ah, right.
We actually had 2,500.
What? They do say that, you know, the best lies are closest to the truth. So
this is so
I tried to make it hard.
What?
Yeah.
Which wedding?
Hold on.
My Nigerian traditional wedding.
2,500.
It literally had 2,500. It was like a circus.
Was this?
It was in Lagos, Nigeria. It's in this massive hall.
Okay.
And the couple is like sat on a stage. So you guys just get to chat to each other and everyone else is eating and having
time.
A party. Yeah, it's perfect. Good way to bond. She's speechless.
Sonia's still like, can we just unpack that moment?
And like, each one of those was so creative, but
yes.
Two of them were true.
Yeah. And then, sorry, the infectious
that
disease.
That was swine flu. That was swine
Stop
flu.
It.
We were on a trip from at school. We were on a trip to Romania. And this was when swine flu sort of broke out. So we were supposed to be in this really remote town helping these kids.
Oh,
and we
no.
were quarantined in the orphanage. Like, our teachers passing us bananas through the windows. Literally, I learned how to paint a snakes and ladders sort of game.
While you were in there.
And we had to reach out to the UK government being like, please, can you evacuate us?
No
we can't.
Way.
These are not conditions we can manage.
How old
and
were
we
you?
Were on the news. I was 17.
I should be laughing.
Yeah, it was absolutely wow. traumatizing.
Yeah, I bet it was.
But in hindsight, very funny. And a good thing for something like this, clearly.
Yeah.
What swine flu? What a blast from a...
I know. Yes, it's like, yeah. In the world of COVID, it's like, no one even remembers.
No, no, it was like, there was something before COVID.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, man. Wow. I'm actually ashamed to share mine now after that. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Well, you... I'm trying to revamp a bit of mine as well. Yes,
me too.
That was so creative.
I'll go, right. So I have met Usher and given him a hug.
Stop.
Okay, yeah. I'm just so much on the cuff here. My background is in church ministry. I'm a church leader. And guys, these are so boring compared to Shay. I'm not even going to try and compete. I'm the eldest of four girls.
You're not the eldest. You're the middle
I
child.
I am.
You are.
Am I giving middle child
you're
energy?
Really not. But then the other two, maybe the Usher one, I just really want it to be true.
It's true.
Yeah.
So you're not a church leader?
No, I am.
So which one's the lie?
Oh, they're all the truth. No, they're all the truth. Oh, no. Do you know what? No, they're all the truth. Okay, so do you know in my head, I still don't believe the Usher thing. That's true, though. So let me tell you the story and then... No, okay, I'm going to have to stop playing the game. Sorry, guys, I'm just ruining the game. I'm literally... I was on the line, I'm like, oh, they're all true. I'm a church leader, yes. Oh, I'm the eldest of four girls. Yes, I have hugged Usher in real life, so...
But if one of the most likely one to be the lie was the one about being the oldest, clearly, because you're clearly a church
thank
leader.
Thank you so much.
Of
thank
course,
you.
Usher would want to give you a hug.
No, he didn't really have a choice. So okay. I'm going to tell you the story. So in like maybe 2008-ish, so I was like 19. I'd gone with a friend to New York. We were traveling, and like it was the end of a trip, and we were like, let's just try and do everything we can do. So we went on to Good Morning America because you can just go and be in the audience. Got up really early, and you don't know who's going to be on the show till you arrive. And listen, I'm a diehard Usher fan. I have been from being like 13, wow, so it's not same. Like you know all these fans coming along now in the last 2 years. No, like I was a diehard back in the day. And then they announce to you when you're in the background, like, who's going to come on set? And they'll be like, yeah, Usher's going to be performing today. And I was like, oh. So they do a thing where they set up like two rows of people. And when he's coming in, everybody's like, woo, and like high-fiving. And when he was walking down, I was just like,
this is my chance.
I just reached out. So he didn't have a choice. Yeah, that was the truth. I can't believe I just ruined the game.
Did he
but
hug
okay.
you back? Or...
I mean, it's kind of like, yay. Like, and then he kept walking. I was just like, I've touched him.
What did he feel like?
I don't remember to mind, that level, but I just remember being
in
like...
In her mind, it's a lie. So she doesn't even know.
No, yeah, fair enough.
So
that's
no, I wasn't
point.
In Las Vegas recently, but like this was, we're going back.
But
no,
he
didn't
Paris,
have a choice.
No?
He's
yes.
in Vegas residency.
Oh, residency.
Yes.
I feel like I watch it every
night. So no, sorry. No lies from me. Sorry. Sonia.
Okay, so, again, I'm not going to even try and compare, but... on my honeymoon, we went ziplining, and it was between two mountains. Never will ever do that again. And I got stuck in the middle of the zip line, so that was that.
I feel like that was true.
And, it must be.
And number two was I was on tour with Mariah Carey because her skin lady actually just dropped out and I was like, oh, I'm there, I can help. And so, wow. Yes.
I hope that's
and
true.
And my third one is I was born in... Wow, I'm just like trying to make it up on the spot.
That's the
lie. So that's the lie. We've got you.
That was really bad.
Look, Mariah Carey, can we just circle back?
Me and Sonia can't play this game.
I have two brothers.
That's the lie.
No, I'm not sure. Maybe the Mariah Carey one is a lie.
Am I creative?
Is that the lie?
Which one's the lie?
Guys, it isn't. Don't you guess it? Or
I guess the two brothers.
No, I do have two older brothers.
So you didn't do the Mariah Carey thing?
No.
I really wanted that to be true.
So do I.
But tell us about the ziplining anyway.
Yes.
So, there was four different, like, levels. And after the first level, I was like, oh, we've done it. Great. Like, let's go back now. And the... person helping us was like, oh no, you've got like three more levels. I was like, no. I'm going back. He was like, you can't go back unless you zipline back. And I was like,
oh no,
what's going on? My husband was like, no, it's fine, let's just do it. And it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then the fourth one, I was like, oh, I can't do this. Like, I'm not doing this. This is like a mountain. And my husband's like, oh, well, he'll go first. And I can hear him like laughing and screaming all the way down.
having
the like time of his life, right? And he's screaming, this is the best thing ever from like the other side. I'm like, oh, okay, great. Like, it's going to be fine. So I did it. And it just got slower and slower.
Oh my God.
And stopped. And
It was a tight line, yeah, though,
it's just,
right?
It's just the weight. So your weight like is what drags you all the way. And I just was stopped in the middle and I just looked down, looked around. I was like, wow, God's creation is beautiful, but here we are. Mm-hmm. And just meditated.
Did you have to get rescued?
So someone came from it and like came and just basically pushed me along. And he came really fast and I was like, and that was that. I just looked at my husband like, don't.
You're never going to do this again. No. This was a great moment for him, though.
Everyone was laughing. Even the person pushing me was like, this is so funny. And I was like, I'm on the verge of death, but okay. here we are.
You were clipped on, right?
Yeah, oh, yes.
But I mean, it's still scary.
The fact that you could appreciate the work of God.
I mean, I could see...
meditate.
I could see the screaming. Top of trees, you know, like... you know, and I just... You know when you're like, there's nothing you can do in that moment? Like, if I move, I can be within those trees.
Oh, wow.
So
yeah.
There's nothing I can do right now. And that was that. Wow. I remember telling my mum the story. She was like, oh my God, and then what? I was like, Mum, I'm alive. I'm on the phone to you. And she was like screaming at me. I don't know what for, whether I was alive or that I did it. It was too much for her. And I was like, we'll never tell you this again.
Oh my God. That was a great start. Yeah. I love that.
But I really do wish I was on tour with Mariah Carey. I love Mariah Carey.
It's still possible.
She's one of the ambitious... women that I just love.
Yeah, you would love to work with.
I just love everything about her. So
yeah, that would actually be amazing. In my heart, I really believed it when you said it.
I really did. I was excited to hear the story.
I'm like, it's possible.
So do I.
It's possible.
Exactly. We're limitless.
Yeah.
Mariah, if you're watching this, I'm here.
Yeah. Oh, she will.
We'll tag her. I'm sure she'll see it. Yeah. So just getting into this conversation, you are both incredible women. You are both ambitious across the whole of life. And we, you know, you're a treasured part of the Magnify community. Wow. But to start with, I'd love to know, why is it so important to you both that we're even having this conversation today?
It's such an important topic to me because it's something that resonates with me, a topic that I feel like I've got lots to say. And also, definitely, I would say, when I think of myself or I ask my friends or family, I think that is a word that they would use to describe me as well. And I was just really excited for this topic.
Amazing.
Yeah, I really agree with that. I think it's super important. I also think it's timely. I mean, I don't know, I'm not going to assume everyone's age who's watching this, but as there's a transition of leadership from... you know, the boomers, the millennials, et cetera, we are in a critical position where we have to redefine what that looks like.
Yes.
Against the backdrop of more judgment through social media, more scrutiny, a lot of mental health crises, et cetera. So it's a critical time for us to actually look at this topic, redefine it, because I think it is different for every generation. So yeah, super excited to talk
so
about
this. So interesting you said it about the redefining of that. It's so true. I think we've had so many ambitious people before us, and that's been such an inspiration. But I think now, with this whole new generation, ambition looks very different from them as well. So,
I totally agree. When you were saying that, Shane, I was like, that was a moment for me. I was like, we're really going to dig into that because I think obviously everybody has their perception as well of the word ambition. And I would actually say generally people would attach a lot of negative connotation 100%. To it, as much as the great side of like, that's great. You're so driven. Like you've got kind of some goals in life or you're a self-starter. But I think perhaps, and when you said it, I was thinking about it, perhaps from previous generations, that has maybe fallen into a place that's not super healthy. So, I'm guessing like we're millennials, right? You're both millennials, so am I.
Wish I was Gen Z, but
do you?
I kind of do.
We need a bit more of their courage.
I think it's the boundaries, the courage, the surrender, the acceptance. Yeah. You know, I don't know, maybe I think there's a balance and I know that I feel it's like I want to talk about too. But that energy I find really refreshing.
Yeah. Absolutely. But I just wonder, even from previous generations, that that word has become a bit tainted. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're like a bit, we're still in that a little in the middle. You know, you were saying just it's a critical point. Mm-hmm. It just dropped in me like, yeah, that's so true. And we have an opportunity to redefine it, but also not redefine it and like, that's bad and we're going to move away from that. But like, what does this actually mean?
Yeah.
And what is on the healthy side of ambition? What is maybe perceived as ambition, but it's kind of like, that's not how I am. Because I think there's a lot of misconception of, as well, especially around women who, we get a bad reputation. Basically, if people think we're ambitious, it's a bit like, well, slow down, calm down, or don't be so self-centered. And I'm just like, you don't even know the half. Like, we've got to get into it. We've actually got to understand each other and understand the motivation and where that's founded. So, I mean, I would love to know, where do you feel that's come from for you both? So that's that sense of ambition. And obviously you feel free to define that as well in in a way that it makes sense to you and that you would say, I'm ambitious in this way. You know, Sonia, you were saying, my family would describe me as this. Yeah. Like, where do you feel that's really come from?
For me, I've never looked at ambition as a negative, like in a negative way, in a negative perspective. And those around me haven't looked at it as a negative perspective. Mm. So when someone does, I'm a bit like, sorry. Like,
it doesn't make sense.
So it takes me back, and I'm a bit sort of confused. But I'll touch on why on that in a moment. But where my ambition really does come down to, and I say this all the time about anything I do achieve, is truly my parents. Mm. And so they were of the generation that came to this country. My mum, especially, came when she was 20, didn't know much English. And I just think now, you know, she's got three wonderful children, if I say so myself, and just so much she has achieved. Mm. And when I was growing up, you know, we didn't have a lot, but in that moment, I felt I had everything.
Yes.
And I never felt short of anything. Mm. And I, you know, and she worked so hard. There was never, whether it was working her job or being a mum at home, there was no stopping. So for me, when I look at my mother, I just think limitless. Mm. And she was always someone who actually, she didn't know how it was going to happen or, you know, how we were going to get to that, how we were going to get to a holiday or that next step or that school she wanted us to go to. And it was just purely her faith. Mm. And I just looked at that. And growing up, I always just think, well, if just a fraction of that, I would just love. Both my parents worked so hard. And actually, for me, when I think about ambition, I think about my parents. And that's just so beautiful, inspiring, where they could never be a negative connotation attached to it. Mm. So that's where it comes from for me.
It's amazing. So, so good.
It's so funny that you talked about your family because for me, it's literally the exact same thing. Yeah. And what you were saying about not really understanding why it's a negative thing. For me, I didn't even really understand the word.
Right.
It's only in hindsight, having had to think about this, that I was like, actually, they were ambitious. So for me, it's both my grandmothers, actually. Mm. My dad's mom was a, you know, she was a teenage mom. And she had my dad really young. And what she's been able to build in terms of her life is just so inspirational to me. Mm. She's one of the top fashion designers in Nigeria. She basically formed the industry just because she was passionate about it. And then my mom's mom always worked. I mean, it was one of the first couples that I saw anyway, where like the mom and the dad did work. This was in the 60s. Mm. So this is really, really
totally unconventional,
rare and unconventional. But for them, it was just so normal. Mm. Like she worked as a nurse. He worked as an engineer. Actually, she worked mostly at night. So my grandfather would be the one at home with
caring
the six
for the
kids,
children.
You know, that's at the end of the day. And she would be working. And she had a set date and age that she wanted to retire. She achieved it. And so for, when I look at both, and they're still both alive, which is amazing because now I have a daughter and she's got to spend a lot of time with both of them. And I just think, God, this is such a blessing. But just watching both of them, they always stood up for themselves, very strong women. And so I just assumed that that was normal.
Yeah.
And growing up, then you get to meet other people, you realize the context that you're in, you actually like go into the real world outside of your family and you see, oh, wow, this is something special. So I think it's kind of always been in my DNA somehow.
Yeah.
And for me, it's similar when I think about family. So bit of a different context. My parents were never like, oh, you can do everything, you can do this. But they always did their best. Yes. And I think that was always the narrative yes. in our house, is like, whatever we've got, well, yeah, whether it's a lot, yeah. whether it's a little, whether it's money or resource, our talents, our gifts, yeah. we're always going to give our best and do our best and go the extra mile. Yeah. So that over time, that sinks in.
Yeah.
And so then I think if you have that attitude, you kind of like that translates to ambition, yeah. or it can translate to that yeah. of like, everything I do, everything I put my hand to, I want to do it really well.
Yeah.
And I want to see it flourish and thrive. Yeah. And then secondly, for me, in my faith, is also like anything I've been given and any yeah. gifts that have been entrusted to me, or any way I can open a door for someone else has been a big thing as I've like got into my 20s and 30s as well. Actually, I feel a responsibility to do that, and I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so I think, you know, you said about, and we should talk about that now, actually, that redefining or letting go of maybe a bit of an old school view of ambition.
Yeah.
For me, redefining that ambition is also, it's always to do with like the motivation. And I'm like, yeah, I am ambitious about seeing shifts and changes. Yeah, for like our generations and the generations to come in all different things.
Yeah.
So
I totally agree with that. I just remembered a story that I think is really important for me to share, to just bring to life this story I told one of my grandmothers. So I was in maybe reception or year one, and we were doing a school play. It was Christmas time, so it was a story of Jesus being born, etc. And everyone was given an opportunity to say what character they wanted to play. And I said, I want to be King Nebuchadnezzar. The teacher was like, it's a man. Like, and it's a king. I was like, no, I want to be King Nebuchadnezzar, because I just thought, I have a loud voice. Like, I didn't even think that it would have to be a guy, and everything else that came about that. And she was like, I'm not sure. So I told my parents, like, I really wanted to be King Nebuchadnezzar, and they wouldn't let me, blah, blah, blah. My mom was like, yeah, you know, it's a guy. My grandmother was like, why not? So? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, in the olden days, they would wear these purple robes, and she told me stories of like royalty, etc. So I think maybe that was what was playing in my mind. Yeah. And I ended up playing that role, and I had my purple outfits, and it is one of my most significant memories. And it's so important, because I remember as a child just thinking, but why not? And I think this is the point around ambition. It's not to be something that you're not, but if that desire is already within your heart to be a leader, to stand out, there is a reason for it, right? And when I think back to that moment in my life, I was always going to be someone that was doing something kind of out of the ordinary. Mm. And so from an early age, I think maybe, you know, God already instilled that confidence to question. And I think for me, ambition is really about choice. Right. It's not about being a working woman or like, you know, being a high earner or whatever, or being a stay-at-home mom. It's about doing what you have chosen to do and giving it your all and defending the authority that you have and the power to actually make that choice and live it out. So I don't think, because people think, oh, you know, baby boomers, they were all stay-at-home moms. They weren't ambitious. They were, because they had six kids. I have one child. Okay. Yeah. you have to be an ambitious woman to really have six kids and really like raise them and do that with everything that you've got. So I think, you know, to the point I made earlier about an opportunity to redefine the word, I think it's an opportunity to bring in maybe areas or careers or paths that would not have been defined as ambitious paths for women, especially now. The family, it needs to be defended. You need ambitious women to do that, you know? So I think, I'm excited about the opportunity that we have within our generation, especially around this conversation. And to just really take a moment to think, this is about choice.
Yes.
As long as women are making their choices, people are making their choices and they are ambitious about whatever vision they have coming to life, that's what it needs to be.
Yeah. Because it gets pigeonholed so much to a certain career type or even a certain personality type.
Yes.
And then I actually think then women who maybe aren't defined as ambitious think, oh, actually I'm trying to build towards something, I'm trying to change something, but maybe I'm not the loudest, maybe I'm not working full time. But because that's what I'm saying about, you know, you were saying about stripping off that kind of old narrative and being able to redefine, we have a key opportunity to do that. But I think you've got to bring language and story almost to what that looks like.
Absolutely.
I think it's a vicious cycle in this culture. And actually, as I mature and the older I get, I feel like veils being lifted off my eyes that actually, you know, you have all of this in the social media, even in schools now, you know, what's your purpose? Who are you, etc. Great. Okay. I mean, I wish we had that when we were at school. Mm. And it really gets people to think about really who are they? What is their purpose? What do they want to do? And once somebody knows now, that they will do everything, right? You really mm-hmm. want to help them and drive them in that direction. But then if you now start to put a negative attachment towards their drive and ambition, etc., then where does it end? Yeah. And I think we're in this cycle and it's just breaking from that cycle.
Yeah.
Nobody... There is no cycle. Mm-hmm. There should just be you in your life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's enough light for everyone. Let's shine together.
Yeah.
It would just be one big bright place.
Yeah.
And instead of just dampening people's, you know, energy, and as soon as they are passionate about something, why all of a sudden stamp on
that? And bring the such a logical...
It's confusing. That's why, for me, when somebody does say it in a negative way, I'm like, how is that an insult? Like, unless it's doing something to that person who is finding it negative, and maybe they should be questioning, you know, actually, is this a threat to them, or why is it making them uncomfortable? Because actually seeing other women ambitious succeed, not just other women, other people, but for me, especially seeing other women really succeed, I'm like, wow, that's so inspirational.
Yeah.
They're putting those steps before us so we can just easily... They're doing all of that graft, and I just think that deserves praise and, you know, what a testimony, not the other way around. It's not like this gossip or an insult. So, yes.
And it's totally a mindset thing, because I think for and not always women, but just for people who maybe feel a bit uncomfortable by someone else's attitude or ambition. Or
that can happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Or they feel a bit threatened, like you said, Sonia. I think it's an opportunity to look within and be like, well, okay, why do they make me feel uncomfortable? Or for me, I think maybe not always, but my mindset has been, wow, you know, I listen even to both of you and so many amazing women that I meet, and I feel inspired and challenged not to do what they're doing, but to really dig down into like, what am I supposed to be doing? Or like, what's in me that needs to come out? And that's for me where the authority thing comes in, Shane. Yeah. It's like, we make it about things and goals, and all those are steps along the way. Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
But it's a life. It's who we're actually becoming in the process.
Yeah. And it's so connected to our faith, you know. Connected. Like, for me, that is the difference. You know, your perspective on ambition is really a reflection of what you truly believe. While you were speaking, I was thinking, like, one of my favorite verses is, and in the Message it says, blessed are you when you show people how to collaborate instead of compete.
Right.
And if you think about the backdrop of our world, our culture, it's me against you, us against da-da-da. I think we have an opportunity as people of faith to flip the script a bit and say, actually, you can actually collaborate and work together. Like, I was reading recently about the disciples and how they shared all resources. No, everyone's needs were met. They all had different gifts, you know. But they were able to work together, and each of them actually stood out. So it's this mentality of like, okay, to be successful in what I'm doing, I need to be the only one.
Yes.
How lonely.
Yeah.
Actually, people thrive best within community. And thinking about ambition and community seems like this doesn't really...
No, it totally aligns.
It completely aligns. Yeah. That's what actually makes, you know, your life attractive. When you are someone who is chasing this path, you have your goals, you have your ambition, you have what you want to achieve, but you're doing it in a community of people who have different goals that they want to achieve. And you guys can work together, you can live your lives together, you can support each other. So I think that's the bit that we have an opportunity to demonstrate. Like, maybe in older generations, we didn't see that much. Yeah. I'm not going to say I saw it. I kind of really didn't. But what I'm seeing in our generation, which is really encouraging, is it seems like everybody's up to something. Everyone is so busy.
Yeah.
You know? No, definitely. And I love what you said. It's actually just taking it back to the word.
Yeah.
And whether you're a believer or a non-believer, for me, the Bible has so many examples. And I think, you know, for example, like the disciples, that was a team.
Yeah.
And actually, every single disciple had a different personality, different gifts, different strong points, different weaknesses, but it worked. And Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, had a team.
Yeah. Let's just pause right there.
Let's pause there. Yeah.
Let's just have a moment to think, actually, one, it is okay to have a team. Mm-hmm. A team that is not like you, but what brought them together was the love of God, the faith.
Yeah.
And actually they had that same vision, that drive, that desire to follow him. And actually that's what I would look for in a team. So, I mean, I work in a team and it's, you know, having that vision for my patients, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it's great, you know, let's have different personalities. Let's get your strong points from this. I don't have all these different personalities and strong points. I'm one person. And therefore you can do such a bigger impact. I mean, look at the impact they've had now. Now, whether you believe him or not, everyone knows him.
And you can't deny the impact.
You know, you can't, there is, the impact is the biggest impact in history, and that is continuously going. It's changed history, in fact, with the dates, etc. So I think definitely going back to the word, I just wanted to touch on also, you know, we were saying how people can get affected by, you know, just speaking ambitiously, etc. And I'm not saying that I've been there, but I have been there where sometimes you're speaking, someone can make you feel a little bit anxious or like second guess yourself.
You kind of pick up on the,
and like there's like a vibration there and you're like, oh, okay. And you make it about you. And I think, again, so important with anything, with any ambition or vision you have, take it back to your secret place, your prayer world, take it back to the word. And actually, one of the differences, I think, with the world, when we say, you know, yes, everyone is doing something now, it's so go, go, go. And at the same time, that vicious cycle, let's put you down, you're ambitious, you're doing so well, let's break you, break you. No, like, come out of that and just think, take it back to the world, the word, and just think, I really do surrender this. At the end of the day, it's your will over my will. I don't even want my will if it's not the right thing for me, you know? It's whatever his will is. Lead me, continuously lead me. Even, you know, anything. It's the start of your day. It's the process. It's the journey. Please be there. And even trials that come along the ambitious path, etc. You know, God, what are you showing me? And not to always think, oh, I'm being attacked here. People are putting me down. Actually, maybe God is trying to show you, let's develop your character, your perseverance, your resilience to be the leader I want you to be. You know, who, again, look at Jesus. Did he not go through his trials? I mean, he got crucified. So I'm just not putting it up. There's not one thing that we've gone through and we are about to go through that he hasn't felt or experienced, nor even with his disciples. And I think it's so important to take it back to the word.
Would you say that's the difference then for you? So as someone who's a Christian and a person of faith, because there are incredible women out there, change makers that are not self-centered, not self-focused, and they are ambitious and they're making leaps forward in our world for the good of everyone. But would you say that's the difference? Is like with your ambition, you're coming, I guess, coming before God, maybe praying and saying, this thing that I've been thinking about or this thing that I've been praying about or just this, the way I am, like I'm bringing it to you and just checking in and making sure we're on the same page.
You know, it's a journey, okay? I hate to think that, you know, we have this one goal and then we get to this goal and then that's it, you know? It is really a journey. And I think the difference for me is I really do know, and my faith, it does grow, and I mean, it's a relationship with God as well. And don't get me wrong, when you're tested, you're like, Lord, why? So for me, through my ambition, what I'm trying to say is actually through this journey, the difference with me is that I know God is by my side. I actually think I talk to him 24/7. Sometimes I'm like, I'm so sorry, but here we are.
Like, you know, just like driving, an ongoing dialogue through the day.
I could be doing a filling and, you know, being like, oh, like, you know, what technique, etc. And it really does give me that wisdom. I want his wisdom. And, you know, to be Christ-like is to have a mind like him as well. And I'm not saying I'm perfect and I don't do mistakes and I'm this saint, etc. But
you know, give me that guidance and actually allow me to have that discernment as well, when I'm wrong and when I'm not, when I'm here to learn, evolve, grow. And this is all part of being ambitious. You can't be ambitious and think you're not going to have failures. You're not going to have trials and tribulations. Yeah. I haven't achieved all I want to achieve, but I know that I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I always say to everyone, I don't know what the future holds. I have my goals, I have my visions, etc. But I know who holds my future. And that for me gives me peace. And is the center of absolutely everything I do. God has to be the center, the alpha and the omega.
How does that play out for you?
For me, I was just thinking as you were talking about people that I spend time with, because I love to learn from the older generation. I just feel like there is so much wisdom, and in a culture that is very dismissive of age, of experience, I want to make sure that I'm being a student to people who've gone before me. So I always love to observe people that I know closely. Like, I have a lot of mentors and people who I talk to frequently, but even just from a place of observation, I think there's patterns. So I like to like observe, what are the patterns of women who have, you know, been able to build really successful careers or done something that I look up to, at least in my line of work within financial services? What are some of the common things that they, what are some things they have in common? And one of the things I noticed is, whether they have a faith or not, they have a grounding and they have a foundation that is unshakable. You know, and for me, I feel like it's a privilege for that foundation to be the truth of the word of God, because then you are truly, truly, truly grounded. And I don't need to know, you know, the future. I mean, I've changed careers so many times. I mean, I had my daughter in November last year. I came back to work to a completely different job. I came back to work full time. I didn't do any kind of, you know, taking some day, because I was like, I'm going into a new job. I had to do a diploma in 3 months with, you know, a 6-month-old. I had to be in New York without my family for a couple of weeks for training, in London for training. On top of that, my sister was getting married, so I was helping her in loads of different countries. And it was just a really hectic and busy season. And I was like, oh God, like, I'm so tired. Why? But while it was going on, I had a lot of energy. And I was like, where's this coming from? And I just realized it's the foundation.
Yeah.
It's the foundation, because every season comes to an end. So that season has ended. The exams are done. I'm certified. I'm everything. And now I'm in a new season where I'm like, okay, I have a bit more time to really just think and plan and strategize for this next chapter. The confidence to make that decision, people think I'm crazy. They're like, sorry, it's hard enough to come back to work. You're doing a new job. You're doing exams. You're getting qualified. You're becoming this. But to me, it just makes so much sense, because the vision that I have for my life is not my idea. It really, really, really isn't. I was actually saying to a friend of mine the other day that I remembered a really close friend of mine who is super prophetic said to me, I don't know, 10 years ago, like, I feel like God is calling you to be in financial services. You'll be able to discern, like, markets, help people invest. And I was there thinking, like,
where were you at that point, like, just in terms of your education or work?
Maybe I was 20 or 21. Right. I was just interning at the firm that I work for now, doing nothing to do with what she was describing. In fact, I had no idea what she was talking about.
Did you have any desire towards
that? No, let me just say, I also had zero desire. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do hard. I just want to, like, run a charity and, like, you know, because in my mind, that was what serving or service would be like. You know, I'm a Christian. I really believe in God. I don't want to be in that industry. I want to be in, you know, whatever industry.
Help, quote, unquote. Helping people.
Exactly. And now I remembered that the other day, and I was like, wow, look at God. It was not by my own design. It's not like I heard that and I was like, okay, now I've got to, like, find the right jobs. It literally happened over a period of 10 years of the God just opening the doors to me. And I think that is how we are supposed to live. Ambition is not about trying hard, doing more. Actually, it's about surrendering and doing less. And that is the journey that I've always been on, that journey. But more and more so, as you get more and more responsibilities, the world is saying, do more, try harder. God is saying, trust me, do less, surrender more, spend more time in your secret place. That is the fuel to continue to drive this vision that I have given you. You know, because it's the same when Jesus was born. People know. People can see your light. You know, and some people will try to help it shine brighter.
Yeah.
Some people will try to dim that light. Mm-hmm. You cannot assume that no one, you're the only one who knows the secret thing. You know, when you talk to someone who's going places, you know.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. And so with that understanding, it's like, okay, how do I actually steward this gift of a path that God has given me? It's never about you. It's always about someone else. I remember the other day I was sat with a woman, very, very wealthy lady. And we were talking about, you know, how she's built her business, etc. And I was just there, like, looking and thinking, wow, like, she's so amazing. And the Spirit literally said to me, this is what you look like to some people.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, what a responsibility. Yeah. So this thing about living this life, especially now that we have social media where we get the opportunity and the privilege to share with people that we may never meet what our lives are like. It's very, very important to understand that actually it is a privilege. That is service more than anything else. Like, I take these social media breaks because I'm just like, this is too much. I really don't like negative news. I'm not really sure I love all the content that's out there. So I was like, oh, I'm taking a social media break. And I'm not even sure if I want to talk about my family anymore on social media. That same day, I'm like about to get off Instagram and I get this long DM from this girl who's like, hi, Shayon, I know you don't know me, blah, 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 but I've just been really encouraged by seeing you post about your family, your daughter, your community. Like, I made a decision a while ago that I didn't want to have children and I couldn't because of the life that I felt I needed to live. But seeing you has really given me hope that it might be possible. Thank you. And I was like, God, I hear you loud and clear. Social media break, great, but never ever just going off, you know, Instagram. And this comes back to the thing about our faith, because a lot of people just are on Instagram or social media because they want to share about their life from this place of, oh, look at me, look at what I have. Look
so
at
true.
For me, it's actually a struggle. I don't want to share that much about my life, actually. It's the most precious thing that I have, my family, how I live, etc. But it's a calling.
Yes.
And I have to honor it and I have to see it as the responsibility that it is. Because, you know, being able to live this life the way that God wants us to live it, at least trying, no one is perfect. But for people to see someone trying, it's so important.
And I think just that DM has got me, because that's not a little thing. Like,
that happens to
me. Hey, thanks for what you're putting out. It's like, I'm actually reconsidering whether I will have children or not to do, because there's the stereotype around the career and the sphere that you work in as well. It's like, do you know what?
Oh,
it's actually maybe better. That almost can make your decision for you. Now, I'm not saying everybody does that, but for her to have seen you just, you're kind of just going about doing
You're
doing. You're not even thinking, oh, I'm going to put this so strategic. Like, I'm going to post this picture of my family. You're just sharing a bit of your life.
Yeah.
And I guess at that moment where you're almost like, you know what? And I totally get that too. Like, maybe I want to protect my family a little bit more. Yeah. Maybe I don't actually want to be this vulnerable online. And I know vulnerability is a huge thing for you.
Yeah,
but you just like, maybe I want to protect myself online. Yeah. And right in that moment, it's almost like that surrender thing comes in again.
Yeah,
it's, like, if it's your idea and your vision, you're like, it's not strategic, it's not right for my life, I'm going to stop.
Yeah.
But there's always almost a moment that held you in your tracks.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh.
It's surrendering to the fact that actually it's God who's going to protect my family and protect my life, not me. It's not by not posting on social media that we will be protected.
Yes.
You know, it's like, there's nothing new under the sun. I'm not the only one on earth with a family.
Yeah.
But it's just that thing of recognizing, and I'm so passionate about this, the reason why she probably felt comfortable to send me that DM is because I'd shared online, like, I'm quite nervous about this season. I'm not sure. I mean, I always wanted to have a partner, but I wasn't really like keen on, like, I'm gonna be a mom, I'm gonna have all these kids. Like, it was like, I was like, let's see what happens. I was more so interested in whatever God has called me to do, doing it, stewarding the gifts that I have, and making an impact. Like, that was like my number one goal. But I actually see that, like, you know, this life, this new journey, becoming a mother, balancing all of this, etc., it's actually an opportunity for me to learn how to surrender even more. Because you start from the place of understanding you definitely can't do this in your own strength.
No.
Absolutely not. You know, even more so than anything else.
As well.
Oh my God. Exactly. You cannot
just
do it in your own
decisions.
Exactly. And so it's an I find the journey with God super exciting, especially when you know that, like, there is a vision for your life. It starts from that. You can't have ambition if there's nothing to do. You know, just ambition for the sake of it, which is what we see in the world.
Yeah.
I just want to rise to the top of my industry. Okay, and then what?
Yes.
I've met a lot of people at the top of the industry who are like, wow, I just wish I had a peaceful life.
Yes.
Mm. What do you do then? Mm. You've gone on this journey. You've fought hard. You've forsaken like your personal life. You didn't invest in your friendships and relationships because you wanted to climb that
disregarded
ladder.
A lot of things that you need sometimes when you're
exactly.
That's why it's about the journey.
Exactly. Yeah. And everyone forgets that a ladder has an end.
Yes.
And then what? Mm. What do you, and you're looking down and you're like, oh, I'm here by myself. This is boring. Being intentional about your journey. I am so passionate about family life.
Yeah.
As much as I am about my career and my work, because I think everything is about community.
Yes.
I don't want to be alone at the end. I've seen what that looks like. It is not fun.
Yeah.
not fun.
It's shedding that self-made story, isn't it? Yeah. As well. You know, I love what you were both saying before about ambition and community and collaboration. And I do think that's perhaps where we're different as millennials and definitely Gen Z.
Yeah.
That we don't think ambition and success is... It's an individual success story. It's rags to riches. And sometimes it is. But actually, most of the time, it's relatively normal people being true to who they are, to the gifts that they've been given, kind of staying in the lane. And, you know, if they're a person of faith, trusting God in the middle of that. But even if not, being grounded. You know, like you were saying, Shay, being grounded on whatever their why is or whatever their values are and going, I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing along the way is that people are watching. That's also
100%
fills me with a bit of nervousness as well. That's true.
Yeah.
No, definitely. Look, people will always watch. People always say something. People can be negative about your ambition. Yeah. And I think the quicker you let go of what people are saying, which is much easier said than done. I think it gets easier as you get older, etc. But again, that comes with spiritual growth, and that's how you grow and your character develops. But the quicker you let go of what people are saying, the quicker you can embrace what God is saying and what God is doing and is about to do and actually replant that energy into your faith, into what he's really doing, how he's got his hand over your life and have trusting in that trust and to continuously surrender as well. Yeah. I think there was a time in my life, actually the year that I got married, I was doing my master's, a diploma, I was working two different jobs, planning the wedding, having other weddings, having other weddings to go to, etc. And that year, actually, even though it, you know, it is such an exciting year, it was such my most intense year. And actually, God was in the midst of absolutely everything. But, you know, now that I reflect back on that year, sometimes I think, you know, was I doing so much? You know, some people do say, oh my God, you're crazy. You're doing so much. Like, you should slow down. I had the energy. I was like, I'm going. And I know God allowed me to keep going as well. Yeah. But, you know, there is a fine line as well, because sometimes you can keep going. And that's because even though you can be a believer, a woman of God, etc., and you have your faith, but you, there is that fine line that you can tread on, be like, no, I've got to do everything. I've really got to do this. I've got to submit this essay and cook this and do this and do my skincare.
And do everything. And we know that's going to take a full morning based on what we see on Instagram.
And do all of this. And you're like, wow, that's exhausting, right? But actually, that's because we're trying to control the situation subconsciously. Yeah. And we're really, that's not surrendering. You're really not allowing God to really take control.
Yeah.
And again, I keep saying this, take it back to the word.
Yeah.
God rested on the seventh day. Yes. You are not busier than God.
No. Let's talk about that before we move on to our audience dilemmas, because rest and boundaries are an interesting one for so many of us, me included, right? Yep. And I believe in rest. I want to have a healthy life, care for myself. But then when I when I'm getting passionate about what I'm doing and I'm really digging in, I have a tendency to just think, oh, that's okay, it doesn't matter. But, you know, the same breath, and I guess this is what you were saying before, Shane, like there's a real like refreshing that comes when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. So it may not be a physical sit down, still rest, but there's almost like a deep sense of restoration in you. You feel like energized. I can't describe it. It's not physically, but it's like within you, you feel like I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing here.
You love what you're doing.
Yes.
You love what
you're doing. But there is a fine line, even between that and just you're pushing it, you're still human.
Yeah.
You still need to rest. And there is an aspect of trusting God in that too, and doing less. You talk about doing less.
Yeah.
just let's talk about rest and boundaries. What is that like for you two?
Well, for me, I actually had a really like significant moment in my life, similar to you. The year I was getting married, we'd had a couple of bereavements in our family, you know, a lot of drama. And I was also in a really busy season within work. Mm-hmm. I remember literally the day after my wedding, I was on the phone to my manager, like on my way back home. And I was like, well, this just kind of summarizes the scenario. And I literally had a mental breakdown. I remember I was commuting to work and I just was like hyperventilating. I was like, I can't do this. And so I ended up like starting therapy again. By the way, therapy, absolutely critical for any woman in this context, in this point in time in history. Significant, because we need to look after our mental health. And this was around May 2019. And so I was like, okay, I had to go on. I started like working from home one day a week. Can you imagine? Then that was radical. So that was May 2019. And then we know what happened in March, the pandemic. And honestly, it was a very tough time for the world. I completely get that. Very tough time for a lot of people. We lost members of our family as well. But for me, I just really felt like it was almost like God was like, you use this season to refresh yourself and see how it all plays out. It was in the midst of the pandemic that I had a serious career like transformation, like a huge promotion. I took on so much work, things that you wouldn't think were possible when you can't even meet people face to face. There was an acceleration, etc. And I think it was just evidence that even in a season of rest, God is still working so that you don't have to keep working.
Exactly.
There's a balance between surrendering to God and realizing that there is humility in our humanness that we have to accept.
Yes. Yeah.
And that was what God was demonstrating by having that seventh day of rest. God needs one day. How many days do we think we need?
But we live in that optimized world where we think we can optimize everything, we can sharpen, we can make. And it's just like there's a sense of, I'm trying to get the right word, like we're finite, basically.
Yeah, we are finite. And I recognize that. And I'm super strict with my boundaries. I say no a lot more than I say yes. It's become like a superpower to me because I realize I am a better version of myself. I am more clear. I am more kind, more patient when I'm rested. And for me, that looks like, on my weekends in the mornings, I'm just alone. I literally just spend 1 or 2 hours during my daughter's nap these days because you have to like balance another human being. And then my Monday evenings, my Taylor Swift Soul Cycle, I do not miss it.
Yes.
I go there, I sweat it out. I drive because it's a 20-minute drive. And I know it's maybe not the best use of time, but it is for me. Because it's me in the car just thinking. That's when I'm like, oh, Lord, thank you for reminding me of that dream, of that thing I wanted to do, etc. It's alone time, it's silence, and I protect it viciously. That is how we can show up for ourselves as women, because every single moment of your time can be taken up by being a best friend, being a sister, being a wife, being a mother, being a this. There is a being a you that needs to happen as well. And you need to defend that time to refresh you, to carry on the journey that you got. I remember Jesus withdrew to pray. We could have had a group prayer, every single prayer. I mean, he had 12 disciples, but he withdrew.
Yes.
And that withdrawing is something that I don't think our community prioritizes enough, but it's a balance between withdrawing and then re-entering.
Yes.
Because I did find like after COVID, people came very super individualistic, me time, self-care.
Yeah.
There is a balance. If Jesus only focused on self-care, we would not be talking about Jesus today. So there is a balance between
such a superficial level of self-care. Like it's superficial, important, which has to go deeper as
it
well.
It has to go deeper. Yeah. What are you self-caring for?
Yeah.
It's always about service. So you nourish yourself so you can serve better. It's not about feeling better necessarily. Like I'm like, life is not about your feelings, okay? If it was all my feelings, I would be in bed right now, like watching my, you know, Real Housewives of whatever, because that's what I feel like doing. But you know, you have to recognize there is a balance between being self-focused and being service-focused.
Yes.
And to serve well, you also need to be rested. So it's a very complicated
mix. Yeah, it's a complicated
But it's something that we all have to find a balance, you know, for ourselves and define for ourselves as well.
What's that like for you, Sonia? So just even really practically week to week, how do you, like, withdraw in that way?
It's something I am still learning. So similar to what you just said. You know, I was, the day after my wedding, went on our honeymoon, and actually I think it was in the airport I was on the phone to my boss about, like, you know, just work things, and my husband was like, are you okay? Like, this is not okay, this is not normal. And actually I was so tired from just you know, the build up, everything, the whole year, actually. I think I was just walking through that airport with one eye closed. And it was actually, and then he was like, oh, this is going to be such an amazing time. You can fully rest. And bless him, he was trying to really make it like a time where I could rest. I was like, no, this is our time.
Yeah.
And it was strange, actually, because I remember just one day just waking up and it was just looking at sunrise, went to Thailand, it was beautiful. And I was just so still and I was like, wow, I'm thinking about 100 things in one go. Mm-hmm. And it just kicked in and I was like, look, something has to give now.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
This is not okay. You're on your honeymoon. Mm-hmm. You've got this view, you know, that only... For me, only God could have created that.
Yeah.
And 100 things is going through your mind right now. And I was like, okay, so, and that actually, that's when I just sat and I just prayed and I surrendered and I really gave it. I was so raw. Mm-hmm. And, God, I'm getting a bit emotional. Yeah. I was just so raw and I was just like, you know, actually, I want to rest. I don't think I know how to rest.
Yes.
I say I'm resting. I think this holiday is a rest.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how to be in this holiday.
Oh, that is so...
And
And,
you know, it really did, you know, my husband was amazing and actually he could really see that. And he was like... And I remember him saying to me, like, you know... I have two amazing, beautiful nieces and, you know, when they come over, they're just a joy. And he was like, you know, they're resting with you, they're playing, etc. They're allowed to rest, right? And you want to give them that rest, don't you? You want to give them everything. So why would your father not do that for you? He wants you to rest. You're allowed to rest. You deserve to rest. Yes. And I just remember breakdown and just crying about it, thinking, wow, I can't believe it's only now that I'm processing this, registering this. I know that we've come... across rest and boundaries for years before, etc. But it was only really then that it sunk in.
Yeah.
Because I actually had that time was meant just for rest.
Yes.
And now, actually, I'm very obedient with my boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'm still making boundaries. Mm-hmm. I'm still loosening some boundaries. Yeah. Maybe it was a bit too...
Yes.
You know, sometimes
you have to pull it back completely and then
because you need to know what works for you.
Yeah.
Very obedient with it, but actually, you know, when things are a bit overwhelming, or even if I'm resting, look, I can't, like last night, for example, I just picked up my book and read. It doesn't mean you have a button that switches off and it says, right, you're going to stop thinking about work, especially when work and your career is something you love.
It is
a passion. For me, it's not a job. I'm so honoured, I'm so blessed, I can say that I love it. And so actually just to switch off to stop thinking about, I don't know, anatomy or something is a bit bizarre for me. So actually it's going through my affirmations is some key scriptures and one of my scripture that I say, you know, all the time to myself is be still and know I am God. And I'm like, that just shakes me because I'm like, he is God.
Yes.
I'm not God.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You are allowed to rest and know who you are. You know, it's not just that I'm a dentist or this. I'm also a child of God.
Yes, a child.
I'm a child of God and I'm allowed to rest and, you know, I am okay in terms of I'm learning how to be fruitful with my gifts, etc. This is all a journey. And so actually it is something that I've learned. I'm not going to say it's been easy. There are times at night where things are just whizzing around and I've had to implement things like downtime, what I do before I go to sleep, before I wake up. But it really does start and end with God for me, because that really is what stills everything. And again, as I was saying before, there is a vicious cycle, don't you think, in the world, even on social media. Work, work, work. But then they're like... Oh, you need to rest. You need to have boundaries. You need to do this.
What's the rest of it? Yeah.
I'm like, let's close that.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the word.
Yeah.
And I always think, actually, there's so many people around the world, right? You know, in different areas, different socioeconomic backgrounds, and they probably... It's such an honour to be where we are today. Yes. And there's people, just because they don't have these opportunities, they're born where they were born, etc., are going through such different trials and battles, yet they probably could do our jobs 10 times better.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, and it's just really taking that in.
It's reminding yourself it's not just
exactly this view, being it's humble this view. About it and being like, actually, don't you want that person to rest as yes. well? Like, yeah. would you love them to have a bit of rest mm-hmm. as well? And actually show them that this life that they're probably dreaming of is mm-hmm. actually joyful as well. Yeah. It's restful and mm-hmm. you yeah. get breaks and
yes.
you know. So I think it's really important to remind yourself, be graceful, mm-hmm. and there's a humility in resting.
Yes,
and understanding that. Yeah. Mm. But as I said, I am still learning.
Yeah, we're on a journey. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm still learning. I'm on a journey and mm-hmm. it's adapting. It's continuously changing. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this point that you're making is super important because it's also context. We yeah. have... my mum wasn't worried about, oh, I'm just scrolling. Yes. There was nothing to scroll.
No, yeah.
You know, so I remember speaking to one of my aunties and I was like, how did you do it? Mm. Your husband has a big job. He literally runs the country. You have so many children. Mm. You have your own stuff that you do with charity. You have the... And she was like, I just didn't try to do it all. Yeah. You guys are trying yeah. so hard mm-hmm. to do it all. When my kids were young, I focused on that. Mm-hmm. They grew up, I had more time to focus on this, etc. And when she was describing this, I was like, it's actually super, super duper important to have mentors.
Yes.
People so that are going important. To be honest mm. with you about their journey, not just like, you know, whatever book they write about how yeah. I became this fabulous yes. woman in this industry or whatever yeah. social media post they make about their, you know, day in the life, which by the way, guys, most of the time is not even one day. It's a couple of days put together.
Blown away.
And people to tell you, no, it's true.
Blown away.
People to tell you the truth. And I remember like one of my mentors saying to me, recently, our daughter, we were like, oh my God, my husband and I were trying to find the balance and all that. And she actually is someone we both spend time with.
Yeah.
And she was like, I hope you're not trying to make all the meals in the evening. I hope you're not trying to da da da. It's like outsource the things that are not necessarily adding value to the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow. Mm-hmm. I feel like in our generation, because I know a lot of young people are going to be watching this, we come from the middle, you know, our moms, they did everything. Yeah. Some people, my mom was a stay-at-home mom. Mm. You know, she did not work. She stopped working when my sister was born.
So was mine.
And so my mom was PTA chairman. She was at every single meeting, at every single thing. And I remember like feeling so overwhelmed because I was like, I have a very busy job. I work in financial services. I am everywhere, every time. I'm trying to serve my clients. I want to be a good wife. Mm. I want to be a good mom. How am I going to do this?
How are we going to do it all together?
My mom made most of our meals. She played outside with us. Like, I was feeling like, oh my God, how am I going to do this? And I just heard, you are not.
Mm.
And that's okay. You are going to be a different kind of... Oh, I'm feeling quite emotional. You are going to be a different kind of mother to your daughter.
Yes.
And that's
okay.
That's okay. What you have to realize is you have to prioritize the things that add the biggest amount of value to the bottom line, i.e. Friday night, date night, non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to cook all the meals. Mm. Order. So now my friends and I, we usually put money together and we order and this lady like brings over all the Nigerian food that we love and we share
love
it. I love to cook, but please keep the cooking to the weekends.
Yeah.
You know, get a cleaner.
Yeah.
My God, actually, I'm not going to lie. I did that when I was like 21. I was like, this is not going to get done. Okay, it is worth the investment for me to have that extra time to do what actually matters. Maybe you won't do every single pick. The other day, my daughter was like standing and my nanny was like, she's standing and clapping. I was like, I've never seen that. Yes. And I was like crying, like, oh my God, you're growing up. And I was like, wow, I wasn't the first one to see her standing.
Yeah.
But guess what? I'm going to be at the graduation.
Yes.
I'm going to be at the wedding if she so chooses to do that.
Mm.
I'm the mother still. Mm. Like, it's not by the things you see or you enjoy. Actually, being able, and another lady said this to me, she was like, before you come back to work, create your community. Make sure you have your domestic life sorted out with people that you trust because that releases you to be present where you are.
Yes.
So actually when I'm working, I don't call and check in on how she's doing
mm-hmm.
because my decision is we've chosen a great nursery that we trust.
Yes.
Why am I doing double work?
Yeah.
There's no point in being double-minded.
Yeah, exactly.
If I'm in the office, I'm not working. Mm. If I'm at home, I'm not. If I'm at home with my daughter, I'm not working either. So just having the humility to realize that maybe what you've seen before is not what you're going to be able to give, but maybe you will give something for what that child needs. I remember God saying to me, this is your child because whatever I've called you to do, whatever mom you will be is the mom she needs.
Yeah.
I needed something different, so I got that. Thank God. Mm. She needs something different, so she's got me. Yeah. Maybe I hope she'll be thanking God one day. You know what I mean? But it's just like the humility of realizing that I cannot control everything.
Yeah.
I can't define everything. And I have to trust that someone else, God, who knows much more than me, who's seen me in my 50s, 60s, who's outside of time, has arranged this life, and I just have to be okay with it and accept it. So that was a big thing, because I was like, will I be as good of a mom as my mom?
Bless you.
No, I'll be a different one, and that will be great.
That is so freeing as well. Yeah. Ladies, I think it's the perfect time to move on to our audience
I'm
dilemmas.
I'm very excited about this.
So some of the Magnify community have sent in just some around this topic, some things that are a real dilemma. We know this is a challenge for us. So we're going to go, maybe we'll do two of them, right? This first one is this. I've been labelled as a mouthy, rude, confrontational know-it-all, while all the men in my life who carry themselves the same way as I do get called ambitious, assertive, confident, and career-focused. Very different words. I have my own practice, and I've had to work really, really hard to get where I am today. And there were a lot of personal sacrifices on the road to where I am now. I can't help but think that because I take a lot of pride in my work and I don't openly talk about the joys of being married and the general family life that I do get, I've got a bad reputation. I felt these feelings outside and inside of the church and from people I work with too. I know a lot of this has to do with expectations placed on me as a woman, but I do have to ask myself if maybe I'm carrying myself in a way that doesn't command respect. Is it something I'm doing, or is it a larger societal issue? Am I less of a godly woman for feeling more excited about my career advancements and job over my personal life and relationships?
Oh, wow. I actually feel much of the rawness and the emotional journey that this person has been on. My answer, which I believe is my life's work, is vulnerability.
Yeah.
Vulnerability. Yeah. You know, the world does not create a safe space necessarily for women to share our struggles. So we have to create it for ourselves, which is double work, I know. But there is nothing new under the sun. There are so many people who feel this way. I felt this way, where it's like, I know what I'm here to do. Yeah. I'm focused on it. I have an amazing family life. I have great friends. I have a child. I have all these things. But that doesn't mean I'm not me in my context. And I have been described as bossy, et cetera, et cetera. And I just think to myself, whatever. I know how God sees me. I know that I'm not narcissistic. I know that I'm... It's just because you have not seen this before. It's very difficult to be the first.
It's very difficult
to be the first, to be pioneers. So if you just sort of share a little bit more about your struggles, you know, I know the world is a scary place. You know, it's not easy to be vulnerable. But I've never, ever, on the other side of having a vulnerable conversation, it's always been a positive reaction. Because people feel like, thank God someone's admitted it.
Yes.
It is not easy. This journey is lonely. If only I had someone to share this, you know, life with, this experience with. And there are many women who, you know, people like you, I'm so happy I met you today. Who knows, you know, what will come of this. You know, but it's like, you do need a community. And I fear that a lot of women are going on this journey alone because they don't know that this is how it feels for other people.
Yeah.
Because all they see is the perfect Instagram and the perfect TikToks and the perfect videos. But actually, behind that is a struggle, an emotional struggle that requires a community to cope with. So what I'm wishing for this person is a community of people she can trust and really share with. And you'll find that when you're enriched within your community, you have less expectations of other people to accept you.
Yes.
So for me, I literally said to someone at work yesterday, no one here can make me have a bad day. No one. They don't have the power to do that. Because in the context of my world, the position that you are, you cannot define me. I'm defined already. Too late to change everything that I already know about myself. You don't even have... I'm not going to give you the authority to enter that sacred place of mine to tell me that I am bossy. What matters to me is what my God thinks, what my family thinks, and what my community thinks. Those are people I've chosen. I put a boundary on who can define me. And so sometimes we actually actively have to do that. And it's not easy. You know, I do have days where something is about to affect me and I just have to remind myself, whoa. What does God say about you? You have your life scriptures. You remind yourself of them. You think about memories of how your friends and your family describe you, which is why it's so important to invest in that intimate community. And you can, and then you have perspective. You're like, okay, this doesn't get to enter that space. And it's protective.
Yeah, that's so helpful. Tell me any thoughts.
That truly touched me. I just want to say a couple of things, actually. Firstly, just go on from what you were saying, have a support system. You need to have a support system. And it could be
you know, whoever you want it to be. So for me, for example, I'm blessed and grateful to say that, you know, it is my husband, my mother, yeah. my one of my best friends, my archbishop, my senior mm-hmm. pastor. I've got, and it doesn't mean I share absolutely everything mm-hmm. there, yeah. but, you know, if something is on your heart, and actually this is mm-hmm. on her heart, mm-hmm. I would take it to my senior pastor. She's yeah. a woman, and actually mm-hmm. She's, you know, a leader as well. And I would mm-hmm. take, you know, actually, do I come across like this? Mm-hmm. How do I not come across mm-hmm. like this if that isn't your intention?
Yeah.
Because, you know, to some other people, it can come across mm-hmm. a certain way.
Yeah.
And sometimes when we are so fixated on mm-hmm. something, we don't know how we come across.
Yeah.
I've learned, you know, how I've come across in certain ways, and actually I could have said things differently.
Yeah.
Well, none of us are perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like she is surrounding herself with these constant voices.
Yes.
And it's just interesting, isn't it, that she said that the men are described as ambitious and there it's positive mm-hmm. and, you know, career focus, etc. We need to break this culture.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Excellent that the men are that, but also excellent that she is that.
Yes.
And yeah. nothing can I say, go back to your word, go back to your secret place, be as vulnerable, if not more, and authentic. You know, when you surrender and give everything to God in your secret place, look at the scriptures and what it says about you.
Yep.
You were made in his image. There's nothing about you that does not make you a godly woman.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. What makes you a godly woman?
Yeah.
Because you have a job?
Can I just ask, how many women in the Bible didn't have a job?
Yes. Yeah.
None. Jesus' ministry was funded by groups of women.
Absolutely. Yeah, and then you look at Mary Magdalene.
Yeah.
You know, she was by his side.
Mm.
You know, she was the first one who saw Jesus when he was resurrected.
Yep.
You know, we need to break this culture and these labels, go back to the source, and that is where you'll find the truth, because it is the truth, the word is the truth, about yourself.
Mm. Yeah.
And then when you want that support, you have your support system, you've got your mentors. We were saying earlier about mentors, and I think it's so important, because for me, I mean, in my industry, there's so many career-focused women, which are amazing, inspirational, etc. But my mentors are the ones where it's not just ambitious in their career.
Yes.
I'm looking at their way of life.
Yes.
One of my mentors' way of life, I just think, wow, this is amazing. This is why she is my mentor.
This has been so helpful for so many ways. I know it'll be incredible for the Magnify community. And as we are a community, just to finish with, we'd love to know just any work you're doing or any projects you're working on at the minute that we can support you in. Start with you, Shane.
Yeah, for me, I've led this community for a while. It's called A Conversation About Womanhood. So you can follow us on Instagram, ACA Womanhood. Mm. And it's all about, you know, we have topics that we discuss month to month, etc. I've been on maternity leave from it for the last year. Okay. But we're coming back this year, focusing on motherhood, how we can support women to be more vulnerable, ambition, community, building great friendships, etc. So just inviting everyone to that space if you need a group
That's
of
amazing.
Women to cheer you on.
That's incredible.
That's amazing.
So good.
Sonia?
Well, in terms of my career,
yeah,
so
your work, absolutely.
Well, I'm a dentist and I do aesthetics and skin, so I'm here for any aesthetics and skin questions. And I was saying earlier that I really want to just focus on my social media this year. I've got the content, but it's just not my gift
to create
the content. Yeah. So actually, it's not like I'm doing any kind of, like, I don't have a community here. I just need someone for that, actually.
Yeah.
And we can have a little team. But I'm here for any aesthetic and skin questions, etc. So, yes.
That's amazing. Ladies, thank you so much. Thank you for your time, for your
thank
wisdom,
you so
and
thank
just for
you.
Your input into this
it
conversation
such an honor,
today.
So
thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Rachel. You're great.
Thank you for joining us for this week's episode of the Magnify Conversations. We hope you've enjoyed it and found it really value adding. If you're new to our community, or perhaps you just joined us for the first time today, we have an Instagram. Our handle is at Magnify Collective. You'll be able to find everything you need there to keep up to date with us. Next up, if you have a story that you would like to share on the Magnify Conversations, you can go on our website, magnificollective.com, and share your story with us. We really look forward to seeing you for next week's episode on Monday.